Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, October 29th, 2025. 15 and a half minutes past the hour, and you are tuned into the Now program here on WGH Talk. So glad to have you with us this morning, and we have a guest to kick off the first hour this morning who I have wanted to talk to since I saw him at a birthday party recently. Great birthday party. We might talk a little bit about that, but there's a lot going on in the country right now. Certainly a lot going on here in Ohio. There is the possibility that coming up this Saturday, November 1st, that 1.4 million Ohioans who receive SNAP benefits will lose those SNAP benefits. And it looks like it's a pretty good possibility that that's going to happen, along with a whole lot of other people all around the country. The East Wing of the White House is gone in lieu of a ballroom costing an upwards of $300 million. And we are at day 29 of a government shutdown. This shutdown, no end in sight, approaching the longest shutdown in government history if it continues to go on. No better person to turn to this morning than a many-time guest of this program, but like I said, we have not had him on in a while, and I want to get his thoughts on all of these things and other things. He was the 68th governor of the great state of Ohio, Governor Ted Strickland. Governor Strickland, good to talk with you.
Well, good morning, Scott, and good morning to all of your listeners as well.
Governor, it's an interesting time. I want to get to all the news of the day, but we got together, it's been about a month ago now, for Mary Ellen Withrow's 95th birthday party. It was a great night, and the feedback that I have heard is that we had Republicans, we had Democrats, Governor Taft was there, a lot of people in that room celebrating and talking that night, and it gave people such a good feeling when it hit the newspapers to see that political parties can still get along, and a lot of people asking, why can't it still be that way?
Well, I asked myself that at times. Scott, when I was in Congress, I represented a district that had been largely Republican in the past. And then when I became governor, I represented a state that many consider a ruby red state today. But we got along. Scott, I would walk in parades and shake hands with folks along the parade route and just celebrate our democracy. I don't know if candidates can walk in parades today without getting something thrown at them or on them. And that's really sad. It's really quite sad that we have reached the place in this country where the hostility is so great, and at sometimes violence occurs between those of different political beliefs or philosophies or parties, and that's quite sad.
You know, Governor Strickland, we have a thing going on here in Marion right now, local government, in which we have some financial troubles. And the mayor on Monday said he wanted the state auditor to come in and look at our problems and see where we're going to go from here. Are we going to be put on financial watch? Are we going to be put on financial emergency? What's going to happen? And the interesting thing is, after that story, even on the local level, it was, well, this is the past administration's fault. And we've heard this is the current administration's fault. Even on the local level, it's party. That's what everybody goes to.
Well, that's sad. It's quite sad. I mean, you know, the Trump administration with the crisis we're facing here at home, with food assistance being terminated Saturday for about 42 million Americans, as you said, about 1.4 million Ohioans. We're talking about children. We're talking about disabled individuals. We're talking about veterans. We're talking about people who've just fallen on hard times, going without food. And what is the Trump administration doing? Well, yesterday the big story was they wanted to investigate Joe Biden. It's just so sad that rather than address the current problems that are facing Ohioans and Americans, there is such a division, they want to go back and fight old battles. Donald Trump is still saying that he won the election, that he lost to Joe Biden. After all of these years, let it go, President Trump. Just think about what's happening to us right now. People going hungry. And that's not an exaggeration. Senator Josh Hawley, who's a very conservative Republican senator from Missouri, just recently put a column in the New York Times talking about the fact that people are going to go hungry. And he quotes the Bible and the fact that Jesus taught us we should be concerned about the poor. And yet, here we are. In just a few hours, people who depend upon the SNAP program, the Supplemental Assistance Food Program, will be without food. And Scott, I'm just looking at the Columbus Dispatch this morning. There's an article that says the Columbus Foundation gives $500,000 in grants to 21 facilities across the region, food banks. And then there's another headline. Council okays $25,000 for Mid-Ohio Food Collective. People are going to be without food. And it's not necessary, Scott. It's not necessary. There is money available. But the Trump administration is choosing not to use it. And consequently, fellow citizens will be without food. That is unconscionable. It's wrong. I dare say it's unchristian that we would have an attitude like that when the money is there. The president could just say, release the funds and keep these benefits available to the people who need them. But that's not happening, and it's quite sad.
Governor Strickland, I want to read this story about what's going to happen here on Saturday in Ohio, because I think this is important. The U.S. Department of Agriculture provided Ohio's October benefits and also other states around the countries, but has warned that November's benefits are not going to be released. The Ohio Department of Job and Family Services has told Ohioans the same thing. About 1.4 million Ohioans receive SNAP benefits. The state receives about $263 million each month in federal funding for food assistance, according to the ODJFS, but it's not paid out all at once. Benefits are staggered between November 2nd and the 20th. State lawmakers are split on how to respond to the loss of about $14.5 million per day. Representative LaTanya Humphrey, a Columbus Democrat, has proposed using Ohio's Rainy Day Fund to keep programs like SNAP, WIC is also in this, and cash assistance running, but Governor Mike DeWine's office has said the plan isn't realistic because Ohio can't access federal benefit accounts even if it wanted to. This is, as you say, hours, days away. People are going to go Saturday, if they're not aware of the news, and swipe their benefit card, and nothing is going to be there, and the governor is saying there's nothing he can do, and this all comes from the top down, the President of the United States.
Yes, and Scott, and while this is happening, the president has chosen to tear down and destroy a historical part of the White House, the East Wing, just tore it down, demolished it, without any consultation with the people who are responsible for our historic buildings. And now he's saying it's going to cost $300 million to build this palatial ballroom with crystal chandeliers. And it'll be a facility when it's built, Scott, that most citizens will never be able to enter. It will be a facility that will be reserved for the elite, for the heads of state from other countries, and for the wealthy donors in this country. But the average citizen will never step foot into that $300 million ballroom. But that seems to be the president's concern at the moment, getting that ballroom built as an edifice to his legacy. Now, Scott, this all could be resolved in terms of the SNAP issue very easily and quickly. Senator Hawley, this Republican senator from Missouri, and I emphasize very conservative Republican senator, has introduced a bill in the Senate that would continue to provide these benefits to Americans. And it will pass the Senate. But it would need to pass the House as well, because both the House and the Senate have to agree on legislation before it becomes law. And the House isn't in session. And it hasn't been in session for going on 30 days or so. Now, those members of the House are getting paid. They're getting their paychecks. But they're not even in Washington. They're not even meeting to try to discuss this standoff. But this is what I think, and I want your listeners to hear this. Why would the Speaker not call the House back and get them to pass this one bill to continue to provide these SNAP benefits? Well, you know, he has said that when the House comes back into session, he's going to swear in this newly elected congresswoman from Arizona, who has said that she would sign the discharge petition, making her the 318th signature, the number required to force a vote on discharging the Epstein files. So one way you could look at this would be to say that the Speaker of the House, this man who brags about his Christian beliefs, says he follows the Bible, this Speaker of the House is refusing to bring back the members of the House to have a special session just to vote on this SNAP program. I think he's not doing it because he doesn't want the Epstein files released. And we all know that, according to the law, if this newly elected congresswoman is sworn into office, as she needs to be, she's been duly elected by her constituents, when she's sworn into law, she will immediately sign that discharge petition, thereby forcing the Speaker of the House to bring to the floor of the House for a vote the resolution demanding the release of the Epstein files. So is this Speaker putting hungry children at risk in order to protect potential pedophiles? Because I believe in that Epstein file documents, it would reveal the names of powerful people who are currently being protected. And in order to protect them, they are refusing to release those files so that the American people can judge for themselves what has happened to these young children, these young women. They're being protected now because the files are being withheld from the public. And that is outrageous. And it should stir up the people in this country to demand of their representatives that they come back into session wherein this congresswoman, and have a vote on releasing the Epstein files. And Scott, if they had the vote, it would pass overwhelmingly, because none of those members of the House of Representatives want to be accused of protecting pedophiles. And that's the sad situation that we're facing in this country right now.
You know, and it's interesting, Governor Strickland, because recently there was a book released by one of the Epstein victims. She is now deceased as of earlier this year. But now the people, I believe the co-author who worked with her, is saying that there absolutely is an Epstein files list. And I believe some of the other victims who are still with us has said there is a list, so maybe there is something to that. But on Saturday, when the food cards don't show up for 1.4 million Ohioans in November, which is typically the busiest food month, Thanksgiving month, holiday season, fourth quarter, when that happens Saturday, what happens? Food banks can only do so much. What in the world do we do? What? How do people eat?
Well, sadly, many of them will not eat. Some may have family that will help them out with food. Some may be able to go to food banks and get some food. But many will just go hungry. Scott, I just read you this article, or the headline here, about the Clemens Foundation giving $500,000 to food banks across the Columbus region.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Columbus, Ohio has a foundation, a very wealthy foundation that can do that. Meigs County doesn't have a Meigs County foundation with lots of money. You go into the rural areas of Ohio, into the Appalachian counties, and they just don't have access to this kind of even charitable help. I mean, you know, Appalachians are charitable people. They'll do what they can to help their neighbors as long as they can. But it's impossible for the needs to be met in these poor counties without this SNAP program being available to them. And so you say, what will happen? People will go hungry. Children will go hungry. Many veterans received SNAP benefits. Those veterans will go hungry. People who have disabilities will go hungry. All of this happening while the powers that be are eating high on the hog. Eating high on the hog. They'll go to a restaurant. They'll buy a nice salad and a thick steak, maybe, and some kind of delicious dessert, and they'll drink maybe a highball of some kind. And while they're doing that, there are going to be people across this country, in Ohio and across the country, who are going to go to bed hungry. That's the reality of what we're dealing with now. And it is a tragic situation.
Two points I want to make about this. Now, President Trump, aside from the House coming back into session, President Trump has said that he will not tap into emergency aid for food aid. Now, there is emergency aid that the president could unilaterally tap into at this point with the government shutdown. President Trump, up to this point, has said he will not do that. As we said earlier, Governor Mike DeWine has said it isn't realistic for us to fund anything in Ohio because he can't access federal benefit accounts even if he wanted to. As a former governor of Ohio, is there anything the governor can do with a rainy day fund? Because it certainly would be raining at this point if people can't eat on Saturday. And President Trump saying he won't even consider going into emergency aid for food aid coming up this Saturday. What do you make of those two points? And could the governor do something?
Well, first of all, let me speak to what the president has said, that he will not use these funds that are available to him. Why is he not doing that? He wants to hold hungry people hostage to this standoff that's taking place between the Republicans and the Democrats in Congress. He's willing to use hungry children as a manipulative tool to try to force the Democrats to cave in. And if the Democrats cave in, Scott, we know what the result will be. The first and most immediate result will be that people's health care costs will skyrocket. I mean, by increasing, you know, $15,000, $20,000 a year for some people, if we do not deal with the health care crisis that we're facing coming up on us very soon. And you know, and that said, now, in terms of the governor and the rainy day fund, I don't know exactly how much is in Ohio's rainy day fund. I know it's billions of dollars, maybe approaching. Do you know, Scott, exactly how much? I think it may be approaching $5 billion or so.
I think it's in that neighborhood, yeah.
That's a lot of money. And I see no reason why that resource could not be used, because we are experiencing an emergency right now. Hungry people constitute an emergency. Hungry children constitute an emergency. And the Rainy Day Fund is to deal with emergencies. And so we're facing an emergency here in a few hours, a few days at most, if action isn't taken. But, Scott, the people, there is power in the people. The people of this country, as was demonstrated, a few days ago at the No Kings rally, this country doesn't have a king. The people are in charge of this country, ultimately. And if the people rise up and say, we're not going to tolerate hungry kids, we're not going to tolerate hungry veterans, we're not going to tolerate hungry disabled people, we're better than that. If enough people speak up and speak out, this issue could be dealt with quickly. But unless people speak up and express themselves, I'm afraid that it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a black mark on us as a country, as a people, if we allow our fellow citizens to go without needed food. And Scott, you mentioned, you know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, Christmas. I mean, a time when people like to get together and share food and fellowship and be with family members and so on. This is a sad time. And then, you know, we're approaching Christmas. And are people going to be able to even afford, a Christmas meal, let alone gifts? Scott, the truth is this. What cost you $100 5 years ago cost you about almost $120 today. So costs have gone up, but incomes have not for most people. The incomes for some people are doing very well. I mean, President Trump has increased his wealth by a few billion dollars since he became president 9 months ago. So his income is going up. But for the average person, income is not really going up to compensate for the high cost of inflation over the last several years. That's the reality for people in Ohio, and it's the reality for people across the country. And it's sad. And you know, I keep saying it's sad because it is. I don't know what other, maybe the word tragic would be more appropriate than sad, or maybe the word irresponsible would be more appropriate. I don't know. But it's irresponsible, it's tragic, and it's sad what's happening to the people of this country.
Governor,
just let me say this, Scott. About 12% of our fellow citizens across the country, about 12% Think of that. More than one out of 10 depend upon these resources for food. Think of that.
I want to get to what our Attorney General said in the last couple days, and maybe this speaks to why we're in the position we're in with this food crisis. And I want to read this. It's three paragraphs, so I'm going to go through this quickly. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost, a Republican, accused Democrats in Congress of using working families as leverage in the federal budget fight. Yost, along with 18 other state attorney generals, sent letters to the U.S. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer asking for a clean resolution to reopen the government and prevent the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, from running out of money on November the 1st. This does not need to happen, Yost wrote. Congress can stop the threat right now by passing a clean, continuing resolution that keeps essential services funded and protects those who rely on them. You have the power to prevent a crisis that is entirely avoidable. And that's our Attorney General Dave Yost in just the last couple days.
Well, I agree with part of what he said. It is avoidable. But he should have sent that letter, and those other attorney generals should have sent that letter to Donald J. Trump, because Donald J. Trump has the ability to release the funds that are there. No law would have to be passed. Donald J. Trump is choosing not to provide SNAP benefits to the citizens of this country. That's the simple solution. So why did he only send that letter to criticize the Democrats? Dave Yost says that he's a Christian, and I try to take him at his word. But he's being duplicitous in the way he's framing this argument. The president has the money. He has the emergency funds that he can dispense to provide this benefit. All he would have to do would be to just make that decision. You know, tell his people at the Department of Agriculture to release those funds. It would be just, that's all he would have to do. And this crisis could be avoided. But he's unwilling to do it because he's playing politics. And it's about time that we call a spade a spade. And I want to tell you, Dave Yost needs to search his soul and ask himself why he is not willing to ask the president to do what the president has the authority and the resources to do right now. I'd like to talk to Dave Yost. I understand he's a good man, but I'd like to ask him, why are you playing politics with this right now, writing this letter, when there is a simple solution, and the president could make the decision this morning before noon to release those funds if he was willing to do so. He just isn't willing to do so.
You know, and it kind of comes back to our original point here this morning for Dave Yost to send that letter out to Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, that again, Dave Yost is a Republican, Schumer's a Democrat, and we're talking about food service on Saturday. I think they both want people in Ohio and across this country to get food service, but they're approaching it from a very partisan viewpoint.
Yes, and it is a fight, but it's a legitimate fight. But as you know, Scott, as most of Americans and Ohioans know, I hope by this time, the reason we are at this stalemate is as a result of the big, beautiful bill that was passed, as a result of what was in that bill, about $1 trillion more, $1 trillion plus, was taken out of Medicaid funds. Billions more will be taken out of Medicare. A lot of people don't understand that Medicare is also being threatened by that big, beautiful bill. And all of the subsidies that provide affordable health care to people will be eliminated, and health care costs will skyrocket. Now, open enrollment will take place in a few days, and people are going to find out that their health care bills, their premiums, are going to skyrocket by thousands and thousands of dollars for some people. And the Democrats are unwilling to allow that to happen. And so that's why we're at this standstill. The Democrats object to the Republicans giving well more than $1 trillion in tax cuts to the wealthiest people, literally a handful of people in this country compared to the total population. And in order to do that, they're cutting back on assistance for health care. Think of that. There aren't that many billionaires in this country. Most of us aren't billionaires. Most of us are just working class people trying to get by. And yet, in order to give tax cuts to the wealthiest people, they've decided to cut back on resources to fund Medicaid and the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. It's unconscionable. And most of the people listening to you and me this morning, I suspect, are not wealthy people. I suspect they're just people trying to get by day to day. Do what they can to support themselves and their families and their loved ones and people who live in their communities that may be in need. But this shutdown of the government is over a very legitimate issue.
And
it's health care.
And Governor Strickland, I want to point out here in Marion County, according to the Job and Family Services, 33.5% of Marion County's population, 21,841 people, receive Medicaid benefits. So that's a big number.
Yes. Sure.
Now,
those are the neediest people.
I want to go to a recent Ohio poll. This came out last week. Now, maybe this is emblematic of where we are now in the political world, and I want to get your thoughts on this. This poll came from Bowling Green last week, and it talked about the upcoming, a year from now, governor's race. If the race were held today, Vivek Ramaswamy would receive 50% of the vote. Amy Acton would receive 47%. There's a margin of error of plus or minus 4.5%. That's as close as any gubernatorial poll has been since Rich Cordray and Mike DeWine between a Republican and a Democrat in 2018.
Basically a toss-up at this point.
A toss-up. Sherrod Brown, John Husted, 49% to 48, Sherrod Brown's favor. And something maybe even more important, President Trump's popularity rating. In February of this year, he had a 0.6 popularity rating in Ohio, which is good for him, over 50%. In April, it went to -1. And in October, the month we're about to leave, when this poll was taken, it's at -10. Since February, President Trump's popularity has lost 16, went from a positive 6% to a negative 10. Do you believe that's why these gubernatorial races and Senate races are now within the margin of error of change and what you called and what a lot of people consider Ohio now a ruby red state?
I think that's absolutely part of the answer to that question. Certainly a part of the question. Because the popularity of the president will obviously have an effect on the outcome of the Senate and governor races. I'm not sure that Ohio is going to be ruby red next year. I'm not predicting it's going to be bright blue, Scott. but I think it may move a little toward the purple next year in the way people choose to vote, and that we may come out with some prizes. Amy Acton is a very unusual candidate, as you know. I mean, she's not a politician. She's a family physician. She's a wonderful person, and I think she's picking up a lot of support from non-traditional Democratic voters. Some Republican, many independents, I think, are seeing her as a different kind of politician, and maybe the kind of politician that we need now, someone who can pull us together, someone who is not a politician by history, but someone who is a caring, thoughtful physician who wants to give her talents and her abilities in service to the people of our state. And so I'm very, I'm very excited about her candidacy.
You know, Governor Strickland, I have to ask you, back in August, I believe it was, you were on WOSU, you were on NPR, and you were asked about endorsing Amy Acton for governor, and you said that she had asked for your endorsement, but you were just not at the point, at this point, of endorsing her, because you were not sure at that point who all was going to get in this race. We know now Sherrod Brown is not going to, because he's running for Senate, and we know that Tim Ryan has not yet. The deadline that he imposed passed, but I don't think he said no yet, but it hasn't happened. So at this point, as we get closer and closer, and also Governor Celeste did endorse Amy Acton last month in September, would you or have you endorsed Amy Acton up until now as we head into November?
I have not. I talk with Amy frequently. I think she's a great candidate, would be a great governor. But at this point, I have not made an official endorsement. I'm sure I'll do that before too long. But she's working hard. She's getting a lot of support. And I think she is earning the nomination just based upon her tenacious hard work she's doing. She's all over the state. She's talking to people. And people are responding to Amy Acton in a very emotional way. I mean, when they hear her story, she came from abject poverty, growing up in the Youngstown area. I mean, you know, I thought I was poor as a kid, but compared to what Amy experienced as a child, I wasn't poor because I always had a roof over my head. She sometimes had a tent over her head as a child as she was trying to navigate this life. And but she went to school. She earned her college degree. She went on to medical school. She became a caring physician, a caring doctor, and assisted Governor DeWine and his cabinet during that incredible, deadly period of the virus, the coronavirus. And she gave good advice and counsel to the people of this state. And so she's a very unusual person, certainly a very unusual person to be a candidate for governor. You know, she's never held another elected office. Think of that. Just being a regular citizen to being a candidate for governor of this great state of ours, I think that's inspiring. And I think a lot of people find her story inspiring and, are going to be willing to take a serious look at her. And I think if she is the candidate, it looks like she will be, if she is the candidate, I think she has a wonderful chance of defeating Ramaswamy. I don't think the people of this state are going to embrace Ramaswamy. His polling shows that he has very high negatives. People see him as arrogant and condescending. And, he's not Ohio. The fact that he moved his company out of Ohio to Texas says a lot about his commitment to the state of Ohio. And So I think Amy's in a position to win this race if she is the candidate.
Governor Strickland, with all those good things you just said about Dr. Acton, is there any particular reason you are holding off on your endorsement?
But the fact is that Tim Ryan has been a dear friend of mine for so long. And I don't think Tim's going to run. But until he, you know, makes that clear, I just want to give him the respect of holding off on making a formal endorsement until Tim has made a public decision about not running.
So basically, at this point, you don't think Tim Ryan will run, and if he doesn't, you would endorse Amy Acton, but because of your friendship, you don't want to do that until he makes a formal decision.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've said it just perfectly, Scott.
Yep. Why do you think Tim Ryan won't run? Because there was a lot of talk of it at one point. There was a deadline imposed. Why do you feel he's not going to run?
Well, I've talked with Tim. And, you know, Tim was a congressman for many years. And when you're a congressman, you know, you give up a lot in terms of time and travel and family events and so on and so forth. Tim's got a wonderful family now. He tells me he loves to coach his son's sports teams and spend more time with his wife and so on and so forth. So I think there are a lot of personal reasons why he is feeling conflicted about what he should do in terms of the governor's race. But having talked to him, my feeling is that all of these very legitimate personal reasons are why he hasn't decided to announce as a candidate.
Want to take a quote that Amy Acton said a few weeks ago, and again, it's kind of on target with what we've been talking about. Amy Acton, in a speech a couple weeks ago, said, "People are longing for public servants again. They frankly do not care what party you are. They want to see you solve problems instead of make problems." Do you think that's true, Governor Strickland, that people don't care what party you are?
I'm not sure Amy is accurate in that. I think the rest of her comment is absolutely correct, that people are longing for candidates and office holders who will work to solve problems rather than to make problems. That's certainly true. But I think that there is such a polarization now that party identification is probably more important to many people than it should be. And I think Amy, with her approach, may be able to break through that polarization present herself as someone who can pull people together. She's just a wonderful human being. I am so inspired by her and her story. She's authentic, she's genuine, she's compassionate and caring, but she's also very strong. And I think she could be a wonderful governor. You know, I've had that office, and I know, you know, what it entails and the kind of pressures that you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis and so on and so forth. I think she's absolutely a strong person and a thoughtful, caring person. And she's also incredibly intelligent, and I think she understands the issues facing our state and our country.
You know, Governor Strickland, one more question about this gubernatorial race. As a Democrat, as a former governor here in Ohio, would you rather at this point, you say you don't think Tim Ryan's going to run, but would you rather that he didn't run so the Democrats would not have a primary and Dr. Acton could go on and face Vivek Ramaswamy? At this point, would you rather that he would stay out?
Well, I'll put it this way. I don't think a divisive primary would be helpful. So I mean, that's the answer, my answer to your question.
Yeah.
I would hope we could avoid a primary.
Governor Strickland, we are just about a year since the election of President Donald Trump, 10 months into his presidency. What do you think of it so far?
I think he is a danger to our democracy. I think he has undertaken steps that is a real threat to our institutions, our courts, our sense of justice. Our I find it so troubling that in the matter of ten short months, he's increased his wealth by billions of dollars, while taking an axe, a hammer to our judicial system, to our educational system, to our cultural system. I mean, him complaining that the African American Museum in Washington D.C. Says too much about how bad slavery was. I mean, it just seems like every value that seems to have held us together as a country over the 250 years. You know, we're gonna celebrate our 250th anniversary next year. I think he has been a very destructive president, and I hope next year that the people will go to the polls and return the leadership of at least the House of Representatives to the Democrats, so there can be some break on his pettiness. I mean, he is so petty. So a province in Canada, the Ontario province, put an ad on TV featuring the words of Ronald Reagan, and expressing Reagan at that time was expressing his views about tariffs, and the president became so offended that he cut off trade negotiations with Canada, the country. It's just, he is so petty, embarrassingly so, and he brags about himself. Has there ever been another political leader that ever campaigned to get the Nobel Peace Prize? I don't know. I don't see why people don't find that objectionable in him. Inviting Chuck Schumer and the minority leader in the House, Jeffries, over to the Oval Office to try to talk about how to solve this current dilemma, this shutdown dilemma, and putting baseball hats with Trump 2028 or whatever on them on the table. I mean, how much more petty can you get than that? And I'm sorry. I know I'm offending a lot of your listeners, perhaps. But I think Donald Trump presents a real danger to our democracy and to our country's history and traditions and institutions. And I think we are living in precarious times.
Governor Strickland, it's always a pleasure to have you on. And whether people like or dislike what you're saying, they have to say that you're saying it from the heart and you're saying it how you see it. And that's important, and I think that's refreshing for people, whether they disagree or agree with what you say, somebody who's willing to say it. And I'm always glad when you come on, because I think people do want to hear the perspective of people who have been in it here in Ohio, involved in politics at the highest level. It doesn't get any higher than governor.
If I can just say a word about that,
sure.
Scott. when I was governor, I got along so well with my Republican colleagues. You know, every week that the House and Senate was in session, I invited the leaders to my office. We sat around a round table and we talked and we debated and we tried to solve problems. And you develop a real affection for people when you spend that kind of time with them dealing with difficult problems. And so I just wish we could get back to that, where people could sit around a table and share their beliefs and their thoughts without it being hate-filled and acrimonious, you know. I remember when my first budget passed, and as you may remember, Scott, during my first 2 years, both the House and the Senate here in Ohio were controlled by the Republicans. And my budget passed with only one dissenting vote. Think of that. A Democrat governor and a Republican House and Senate, and only one dissenting vote. That's because we worked together to find common ground and compromise. And I remember John Husted, who's now Senator Husted, giving me a hug at the end of that process when we announced what we had accomplished together. So it is possible. It is possible for people with competing political ideas and philosophies and beliefs to come together and work together for the common good. And I hope we can get back to that at some time in the future.
I think a lot of people echo your hope. The 68th governor of the great state of Ohio, Governor Ted Strickland. Governor Strickland, thank you as always.
Thank you, Scott. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
Raised in the Marion area, moving to Mount Gilead during middle school and finishing there.